Surely the Lord. Surely the Lord is in this place.
Yeah.
Do you believe that this morning?
I do.
Surely the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, welcome to everyone this morning. Welcome to 2023. If you've just come back and from your Land of the Living of holidays, I want to welcome back Chrissy and Mikey Faulkner. So glad to have you back. I so missed you because, you know, the hospitality kind of was a little bit kind of like, how you doing there when you but, you know, it was good. It was good to just have a break. Is it the land of flowing milk and honey, as they would say, New Zealand? Wherever you are, doesn't matter. I want to welcome you if you're new this morning. Welcome. If you're new, we would love to host you straight after the service.
Yeah.
We want to give you a cup of coffee or a tea and just have a chat of what, you know, how we can help you, you know, in church life or whatever you're looking for. You know, it's always good to not be a stranger when you walk in churches, because sometimes you just kind of feel a little bit scared or, you know, anxious. And so we want to make sure that you are connected in some way, or someone touched hands with you and say welcome. So I want to say welcome to our online family as well. It's so good to see you and connect with you over the technology. And if you are needing anything also as well, to make sure you comment on our chat. Well, who's excited this morning?
Come on. Yeah.
I am excited. First preach for 2023. First preach for 2023. And I'm so privileged to get to do this and to continue the series that Pastor Tony is speaking on about scripting and steering. And why don't we just pray first? Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is powerful. It is alive and active. It judges, Lord God. It cuts through, Father God, the intent of the heart. And Father, we just pray for this morning that you will do just that, so that we can be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, scripting and steering, it is something that we do all the time. You know, even now, I am scripting and steering and thinking about, is this the right words to say? Is this the right phrases to say? Because, you know, scripting
Hello.
I always have a problem with technology. Why is that? Okay. Setting the course of our life begins with a script.
Yeah.
And today, you know, I want to tell you that I've learned a lot in the last 2 weeks that Pastor Tony's been preaching these series, because to me it's so practical. It is so, like, you know, you can hold it and you can apply it into your life. And now I've been challenged by the, you know, in the last 2 weeks, I've been more mindful and observant of the things that I say and my things that I, you know, speak to people or to my children or to my husband and everything. So I'm very aware now, like, not that I wasn't before, but much more so while we were doing this series. And you know, I don't know about you, but as we plan for 2023 and as you visionize and as you prepare and as you write down your dreams and your visions and goal, you know, it's got to be aligned with the promises of God.
Yeah.
Write down what you're believing for with the promises of God, because we have learned all throughout the last 2 weeks that words are more than just sounds, isn't it?
Yeah.
That your words become reality. That you are, can I say this, that you are where you are today in part because of what you have been saying about yourself and to yourself. Words are like seeds.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've grown anything, like put seeds in the ground, like I'm hopeless in doing stuff, but you know, I'm getting better at that. I might kill every plant that's in my house, but it will grow. It will grow in Jesus' name. So words are like seeds. When you speak something out, you give life to what you're saying. If you continue to say it, see, eventually it becomes your reality. Whether you believe it or not, you're actually prophesying to your future.
Yeah.
That's how powerful words are. So our lives move in the direction of our words. Let's have a look in James 3:3-4. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. I want you to highlight that a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest of fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. It's really interesting that that is so descriptive of the words we speak, that the power of your words. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death. Yeah. Similarly, in Proverbs 12:18, this is what it says. Some people make cutting remarks, but the word of the wise bring healing. Has anyone actually said anything to you like it's cutting, like a cutting remark? They don't intentionally want to hurt you, but it just came out.
Yeah.
You know? And you got to think, ooh, that's a bit harsh. Like I hear some remarks that have been sometimes spoken out of gist, out of because of your friends or you're joking around and you're kind of like, you know, close to them. So it's easy to just blurt things out or to things to come out, you know. And because a lot of times things just come out. But can I say, things come out because it's out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. What is the overflow of your heart today? Because our thoughts become words. Now, as you know, as you can see me right here and here, I'm visibly not Australian, I'm Asian, right? I'm Asian. And English is not my primary language. And so I have used phrases and words that could be a little bit kind of like mean something else. And maybe even in this sermon today, I'll be saying things that you go, oh, does that make sense? But forgive me, I'm trying to communicate. I'm trying to script as I go. So it may seem so innocent, but yet it means something else. Now let me give you an example. I'm going to be vulnerable right here because, you know, that's all we are. We are a family of God. I want to give you an example. And so I have used phrases that may even be some called euphemisms. I think that's what it's called. Mazerisms, as they will call it, but euphemism. So to my children's horror, they correct me. So, give you an example. I love ice cream, and I love watching, you know, movies and everything like that. And before, you know, you go to Blockbuster and then you get videos out of the thing. But now, it's all online. You have heaps of things like, you know, what is it, Disney Channel, Stan, Binge, Netflix, what else, Foxtel, all of that. Pardon? Oh, well, there you go. See, it's just... But this phrase, right? I heard someone said it, And I thought, oh, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. And I'm going to come home. And then so one day, my kids are going to youth, right, on Friday night. She's laughing right now. And I said, so, Mom, what are you going to do? You know, a couple of hours. Well, I don't really want to go out. I just want to stay here. What are you going to do? Well, you know what? I'm going to do Netflix and chill. And then, what? What? They go, do you know what Netflix and chill is, Mom? No, it's like sitting in a movie, like, you know, watching Netflix, because, you know, I like Netflix, and, you know, going to couch and recliner and eat ice cream. No, Mom. You know what Netflix and chill is? I said, no. Well, let me tell you, Mum. Let me educate you. Netflix and chill is not what you think it is. And they said, it's sex.
Oh, no.
Can I say that word?
You said it.
Well, I said it. It's not a dirty word, okay? Just please. And I said, are you serious? No, it can't be serious. Like, you know, contrary to popular belief, it'll take more than 2 hours, right? See, I just said it. Like, this came out. It just came out. Oh, I don't know. So, get it back. Get it back.
Scripting.
So people have often said to me, right, and let's get away with it, people are close, they said, English is hard. English is hard. But they jokingly said, English is hard. And I said, yeah, okay, whatever. So I let it go, but you know what? They say that because they know me. They think it's a joke, whatever it is. But you know that the thing that Pastor Tony said, you know, sticks and stones won't break my bones, but words can never hurt me? Well, that is a lie.
That's right.
Because even though I let it pass, you know, because, you know, how big, put your big girl pants on, it still kind of like penetrated.
Yeah.
And just felt like, ooh, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but I came to Australia when I was 12 years old, and I didn't go to school from grade 4 to 7.
Wow.
Okay? I did not go to school. In the Philippines, I did not go to school. So forgive me if I have grammatical errors. But you know what? God can do great things, because I've studied, I finished my year tour. When I came to Australia, I spent 37 days in high school, grade 7 at Mabel Park, and then Woodridge along the way. I finished my grade 12, I've done my master's and postgraduate and everything like that, but that is the grace of God.
Wow.
So English may be hard, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We all have little things that we kind of, you know, do. So, on average, this is what they say. Research has said that we speak around 16,000 words per day. Some of you may exceed more than that, right? It's not this love languages where it says, oh, 5,000 for men and 7,000 for women. It's actually increased. Okay, so that's a lot of words if you think about it. We tend to underestimate the significance that each word can possibly have. So, words matter. Let me give you a story right now. There's a boy that went to school, and one day he came home from school and gave a paper to his mother and said to his mum, Mum, this teacher gave me this note to me and told me that only you are to read it. What did it say, Mum? I want to hear what the teacher has said. Her eyes welled up with tears, and she read the letter out loud to her child. She said, your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have a good enough teacher to train him. Please teach him yourself. His mother did just that until she fell ill and passed away. Many years after this young boy, obviously mother's died, he came became one of the greatest inventors of the century. Do you know who I'm talking about? One day, he was going through some of his mother's things and found the folded letter that his old teacher wrote his mother that day. He opened it. This is what it said. "Your son is mentally deficient. We cannot let him attend our school anymore. He is expelled." Wow. Do you know who that boy is? It's Thomas A. Edison. And he became the greatest inventor of the century. He got emotional reading that and wrote in his diary, "Thomas A. Edison was a mentally deficient child whose mother turned him into the genius of the century." You see, some of us would have experienced that kind of thing where a teacher would have said something to you, whether a colleague has said something to you, whether you have said something to your children. And can I tell you, for everyone here, whether you're a parent, grandparent, whatever it is, for anyone are online, that a positive word of encouragement can help change someone's entire life. I wonder then today, as you reflect on your words that you speak and the words that you have spoken, did they brought life or did it destroy life? You know, the way you speak to your children becomes their inner voice. I don't get this always right. I have been brought up in a very, very toxic life and family life where things have just spoken and criticisms and everything like that. I was told that I will not amount to anything. But I did not allow that script, that steering to determine who I am today. When children hear of your criticism rather than praise, this affects their self-esteem and that becomes their inner voice. Let's have a look in Matthew 12:36-37. "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." So don't put limits on the power of your words, because words can accomplish nearly anything. Words can destroy anything. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. The writer says in this scripture, says that in the same way a bridle is used to direct a horse, then or a rudder to steer a big ship, or a steering wheel can be the director or direction of the car. I drove Daryl's Mini the other day, and it was so good. I was trying to direct this little car. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, this is a perfect size for me. I was directing it, and I was just like, yeah, this is feeling good. Our words determine the direction of our life. When we let our emotions, our worry, our doubts, our fears take over the steering wheel. They lead us towards greater worry, greater doubt, greater fear. We reinforce the worry, we reinforce the doubt, we reinforce the fear, we reinforce the insecurity, we reinforce the confusion. So we need to talk to ourselves towards the comfort, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the peace of God. Don't accentuate the frustration and anxiety by the way you talk. You know, as I grew up in leadership and ministry life and everything, I often hear people say things that are going on with them. You know, they speak where they are at that particular moment and how that governs their emotions and how they feel at the time. But can I say that feelings are fickle? Feelings are not bad, but it's just fickle. Feelings are a learned response to an emotional trigger. Let me give you another example, right? Because I love examples, especially if I put it onto myself. When I was a young girl, I was tormented by bugs. Therefore, any bugs that in the vicinity here, cockroach, anything with four legs, two, whatever it is, bugs, right? Anything that flies. So if you think that let's have a joke with Maz and give her a bug, you'll have another thing coming.
You'll have a crazy Maz.
You'll have a crazy Maz coming out. Like, so I was tormented by bugs. So when I was young, they, you know, praying mantis? Yeah, praying mantis here, right? Okay, cool. Well, they used to put it in a jar, and they're huge in the Philippines. They're huge. And so they put, like, you know, lizards or whatever in there, and they eat it, right? And then they put one there, and so that is gets eaten, right? And I was, like, terrified. And then they'll take it out of the jar and put it on my body. Now, that is torture.
Yeah.
Consequently, I hate bugs. And that feeling is a learnt response to an emotional trigger.
Yeah.
So in the same way as God says to us, you know, that God is going to look after you. Don't worry about these things. And the Bible says that in Philippians 4:6-9 says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into the prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. So it will calm you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displays his worry at the center of your life. Summing it all, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on the things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, nothing to curse.
Yeah.
And this is an encouragement for us. A life application. Put into practice what you learned from me, that's Jesus. What you heard and saw and realized, do that, and God, who makes everything work together. Say everything.
Everything.
Everything work together will work you into his most excellent harmonies. So my question for you this morning, church, is that what are your words driving you into? Words develop feelings and emotions, feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, feelings of disconnection and discontentment. But the right words can take us towards and into God's strength. Right words can lift us up, can build us up, inspire us, to move us, and to build us. And a perfect example is in Joel 3:10. Where it says, let the weak say, I am strong. This is more than just a positive affirmation. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people who believe in that put like post-it notes all around their mirror and write down little things, but they're good, but they're not from the word of God. So that's a positive affirmation, which is also good, but we are teaching you today to align the words that you speak, the words that you proclaim and declare, to be aligned with the promises of God, and it's in his word. Do you feel weak? Do you feel like a failure? Do you feel powerless? Do you feel like you can't deal anymore? You can't do this anymore? That's maybe how you feel. Weak, vulnerable, exposed, helpless. That may be your script. But your script may tell you that you are, and your script may tell you that you're not a good parent, or you're not a good person, or you're not a good mum or dad, or, you know, some personality stuff where it says, I'm just not a people person. Following that script makes it a self-fulfilling prophecy for your future story. If you follow that script, that's where it will steer you. You will eventually act what you believe. But the day you decide, this is the thing, the day you decide, I am strong, it takes all another different meaning, right? It changes everything. It's a game changer. It takes one decision to utter words of defeat or utter words that actually is from the Word of God. You know, the enemy whispers lies to you. Lies can become a limitation. Lies can become a lid. And we need to learn how to identify lies, like a lie detector. You know, I'm good at discerning when someone lies to me, especially with my kids. Ask them. Hey, Zach, wherever you are. Don't lie to me because I said I will eventually find out. I have a radar, you know, a lie detecting machine. It's not a machine, it's the Holy Spirit in me. It starts to give me like yucky feelings and like my heart starts to go like this. And I know when my kids lie to me because they either flare their nostrils or they have this eye twitching thing going on. And I said, don't lie to me, tell me the truth. I'm giving you an opportunity to tell me. No, Mom, no, I caught the bus. Really? Okay, let me check the internet. Where's the bus route? Zach will remember this. But get to find out. Like, don't lie because I mean, seriously, you're going to get the consequences a lot harder later on. Anyway, moving right along. So when a lie comes, we need to learn to discern what the enemy says to us, the lie, and you need to challenge that narrative. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So is it all of a sudden like you say that thing and poof, like it just happens miraculously? No. It's something that you need to habitually say and habitually create in your brain to make sure that you are not saying anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Because God wants you to align your words with His words. Whenever our words align with God's word, then something happens. You get strong by talking about, you can't be strong by talking about how weak you are. You can't get connected or you won't get connected by speaking about how disconnected you feel. You won't feel like you want to give when all you do is whine about like, oh, you know, I've got to give again. It's all of this sort of stuff that sometimes we just blurt out. It just comes out of our mouth, isn't it?
Yeah.
So speak life-giving words. Speak God's word over your life, over your circumstances, over your relationship, over your marriage, over your children, over your employment, anything that you can. And I will say and declare that this is the day, this is the year where things will start to shift, where things will start to change, because I believe God is for me and not against me. We have a big God, and so you need to declare big things. The verse, like I said before, does not say, let the weak tell everyone how weak they are. Let the weak post on Facebook how weak they are. Let the weak just say, admit to their defeat. Let the weak say, I am strong. You don't have to air everything on Facebook. Hello, hallelujah. Don't have to tell everyone how bad it is, your weak being. And I know, look, let me just put a little bit of a thing there because that seems a little bit harsh. I know some people need to kind of put something out there. And look, I respect that. That's your Facebook. I don't care, right? But I'm saying, like, would it be better to say, look, I've had a bad week, but I am so glad I have friends, safe people, church community, church family that will help me when I fall?
Yeah.
Isn't that take a twist to say, oh, look, I'm sick again. Like, can't believe that this is just, you know, everything. Like, pray rather than, yeah. What? Just pray. Pray. Satan has a plan to destroy you. John 10:10. It's not on the screen, but it says that he has come to kill, steal, and kill. Right? So his agenda is to seek to destroy you. And he will use any means, even social media. When your script is in the negative, you are in agreement and alignment with Satan and his plan. But the good thing is that Jesus also has a plan for you. Plan to empower you, power to bless you, plans to give you abundant life, plans to give you the best life possible, plans to give you a greater life. When your script is in the positive, you are in agreement and alignment with Jesus and his plans. So Satan's plan is to destroy you, but Jesus' plan is to develop you. Our words cast the final vote. Our words empower the plan. So I want to give you three things quickly we should use our words for. Number one, use words to self-identify. Self-identify with who God says you are. We hear a lot about identity theft these days. And so truth is that it not only happens in the natural, but it also happens in the spiritual realm. Enemy is continually trying to steal our identity, trying to steal our purpose, trying to steal our God-given, God-shape, you know, identity given to us by Christ Jesus. By having us identify what's the worst in us. And I want to encourage you today that our identity in Christ Jesus is based on the best in him, not the best in us.
Yeah.
So I was talking to my sister the other day and I asked her, so what are you really good at? She's good at many things, but I wanted her to speak it. She took a long time to answer. And I was thinking, I wonder why that is. Is it because that maybe the enemy has messed our minds so much so that she can't kind of vocalize, her verbiage cannot vocalize what she's really good at? She wasn't trying to be humble, she just couldn't speak it out. But when you lived in a deficit for a long time, it overshadows the gift that God has given you.
Yeah.
Don't look at your deficiency, but look at the dream, the destiny that God has placed in your heart, the destiny that, God is so long for you to develop. But you've got to be disciplined to do that. When you know who you are, you will know what to do. There's a story in the Bible about a four young Hebrew slaves taken up to captive in Babylon and forced into slavery. One of the things the enemy did was to change their name, to make them believe that something about themselves was not true. Let me show you. Daniel 1:7 says, the chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel. Anyone know, like, the book of Daniel, Meshach thing, and Abednego. So Daniel, God is my judge. And it's changed to Belshazzar, which is Lady Protect the King. They gave Daniel a girl name, Shazza. Shazza. Because plan to mess their identity and relationship. That's what the enemy does. The second thing is Hananiah. Yahweh has been gracious, means, and then Shadrach renamed, I am fearful of God, God is not for you.
Wow.
I mean, really? Like,
wow.
And then go, plans to mess their understanding of God's nature. Second, the third one, Michelle, who can compare to my God? No one. Meshach, they changed the name to Meshach, despised, contemptible, and humiliated, from confidence to cowardice.
Yeah.
Plans to mess up their sense of wholeness. The fourth one, Azariah, Yahweh has helped. Abednego, servant of Nebo. Nebo was the Babylonian god. So this is to plan to redefine their god and their future. So you know what? People will always label you, change the frame of what God has planned for you. But can I say, do not give in to that. Do not give in to the limitations. Do not give in. Don't use that lie of the enemy to put a lid and to put something on your life that's not meant to be for you. Put the eviction notice out. Tell them to get out, because that doesn't belong to you. That is not your nature. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are a conqueror. You are victorious. You are an overcomer in this life. So the enemy, and I don't want to talk about him all the time, but he gives us things that are not true to define us, to destroy us. But God's plan is life, and you cast the final vote. If you doubt that, then look what Jesus said in Matthew 12:35. I want to just show you this. Okay, if you want to take a photo, I don't know whether that's really too long, but just so that I put that in a table for you so that you can actually have a look. Okay, just a little bit of a snapshot. The shift, there's a shift in what happens when the enemy renames and reframes what God has actually done and wanting to do for you. Matthew 12:35, this is what it says. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings forth evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Next line. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. By your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. We are acquitted or condemned by our words, held accountable for our words. Words can set you free from labels and names and identity the enemy puts on us. Or by our words, we can condemn ourselves to live that way. Oh, it's always going to be that way, so I can't change anything. That's rubbish. Hold on to the truth of God. Where we embrace it, we establish it. So, what words are on your identity? What labels attach themselves to you in a negative way? Liar, unlovable, failure, worthless, victim, unwanted, restless. You've got to flip the script. Flip the script. You are trustworthy. You are purposeful. You are confident. You are valuable. You are victorious. You are accepted. Flip the script. Number two. Use words to encourage and cultivate. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Don't put one another down, even if it's just a joke. Watch what you say, because what you say can actually hurt people. Cultivate more of what you want in life. Use words to encourage not just others, but yourself. Some think if we use positive words in a negative situation that you are not facing reality, that we are living in denial. It becomes a barrier for some, so they never say anything at all. Well, I'm just being real. I'm just telling you the truth. But I'm just telling you that like it is. But whose truth is that? Is that the truth of God, or is that your truth? Challenge it, because sometimes it becomes a mindset for it that allows a negative reality to go unchallenged. You don't have to deny reality to speak confidently. Today, you might have some challenges in your life right now, for your finances, your relationship, whatever it is, employment. But God, can I just say that God has not brought you here today to leave you where you are. He did not save you so that you can be mediocre. He did not pull you out of the pit so that you can go back down. Believe that God has greater things for you this year. Believe that God is going to shift something in your life this year. Believe that God is going to give that breakthrough. And I declare that in Jesus' name. Yes. I prophesy that to each and every person sitting right here. Whatever you're believing for, I don't know what you're believing for, but I am agreeing with you in the line of God's word. For our online family, I'm believing with you. Whatever you are saying, whatever you're talking, align that with the word of God.
Yes.
Because it takes just a decision to have a mental shift. 2 Corinthians 9:8, this is what it says. And God is able to make all, as we said before, all grace abounds to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Is this helping you?
Yeah.
Is this helping you? You're not falling asleep on me? So, when we cultivate with our words, we are pointing our life towards a desired reality. And it's not just about the pressure in us, because sometimes the things in us, the things that are going inside of us, sometimes that's dictate and determine what we do next. Learn to leverage the power of your words. Have a good talking to yourself. Have you ever talked to yourself? Have a good talk to yourself. Psalm 43:5, this is what it says. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God. Now, if you notice that, it hasn't happened yet. It says, I will yet praise Him. So you can praise. Turn your problems into praise. You know, your worry to worship, and we've heard that before. The third thing I want to use, and the final thing, is this. Use words to increase faith in God. Faith is like a seed. Grow it. All have a level, a measure of faith. Jesus looked at people and said, have faith in God. Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is lifted when we hear God's word. As I'm preaching right now, I hope and pray that your faith is lifted. Yes. No one can grow your faith like you can. What others say to you is nowhere near as powerful as what you say to you. You are your own preacher. I may be preaching here today, saying all these things that God has intended for you to hear today, but in another sense, you also have another preacher that is sitting right here. Yeah. It's a silent sermon. Are you going to listen to that? Or are you going to listen to what God has said? Psalm 91:2, this is what it says. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You know, part of growing your faith is not just hearing the word of God, it's also reading God's word. And I want to take an illustration for our final thing today, and I want to bring up my daughter. This is unrehearsed, okay? So give Hannah a hand. Go and stand there. So, I mean, I've got my high heels on, but she's still taller than me. I call her Sushi Master today because of this. But anyway, so, you know, when we talk about a growing a faith in God, it's reading God's word. This is the word of God here. And, you know, we have tried so many times as parents that we just go, I want to teach the word of God, and you know, we don't always get this right. You know, we in the dinner table, no technology, we're starting to just do that, and we actually kind of try and teach the word of God to the kids and give them stories. Though I'm not really good at stories because I just scare them, because yes, there are things in there that we won't even disclose. Hey, Hannah. So now we've started this thing where she wants to learn how to cook. So I cook by feel, I don't cook by measure and everything like that. And so she wants to start to cook. And sometimes, you know, we'll discuss things, and even whatever we're doing, we discuss things about God's word. And so this is the book, this is the word of God, all right? And this is what, there's 66 books in here, and it's the truth of the word of God. And so you gotta teach your kids to hold on to this. You gotta teach, because you know what? If you don't teach your kids, the world will teach them. The world will teach them. And you gotta make sure that what you teach is in line with the word of God. It is very important. And like I said, we don't get this always right. So I'm being vulnerable here, but we're trying the best we can. Because right now, there's a lot of voices in our world. There's a lot of things that these kids that I haven't even heard about, but they're actually like hearing about it in the world. And I go, what's that? Where did you hear that from? Where did you see that? Yeah. They're teaching me. But I want to teach them the word of God, what the truth of God that says about them, that you are beautiful, that God has a plan and a purpose for you, that God has this imaginary thing that you cannot even decipher right now, but God in His greatness have a great plan for you, Hannah. And so, see, she can't even hold the compliment of the word because, you know, because the world has messed up our minds so much so that you can't even hear what the truth is. John 8:31, can we put that up, please? It says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So Hannah, I'm going to throw this at you, okay? Hold the word. It says, hold to my teaching, okay? And when you hold it, you practice what's in there. You may not always get it right, but you hold the teaching. The next verse says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Yes.
It's not the truth you hear that sets you free. It's the truth that you hold.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the truth that you hold. Are we holding this? Okay, where's your phone? Okay, this is unrehearsed, but I'm just going to try anyway. So Hannah, you like technology, right? Yes. You're on it all the time. Can't even get a word in. It's always like, oh. I asked my kids today, so I want start texting, right? So just text you. So, you know, the generation of today, they're technology, right? And that overshadows the truth of God's word. Because in there's TikTok, there's all these sorts of stuff that kids nowadays tend to believe over the truth of God's word. And like I said, if we don't teach God's word to them, they will learn it from that truth. And so when I say to you, Hannah, you know, God is so good and you will see the goodness of God to you and everything like that. But then I go like this. She did one hand. You just destroyed my illustration. Right? You cannot hold this. Okay, do it for me, right? You cannot hold this. Go. Oh, jeez. Interesting. Unrehearsed, but I'm trying to make a point. You cannot hold the truth of God if you have this. If you have this in your hand, you cannot hold the truth of God. If you have technology in your hand, you cannot hold the truth of God. If you have TikTok, if you have things like this in your hand, you cannot behold God's glory and gaze upon his beauty if you are gaming all the time. And can I just preface, it's okay to game, but all the time is not beneficial for you. So thank you, Hannah. Oh, that was good preaching anyway. So, hold. What are you going to say when times are tough? Because tough times will eventually come. Can I have the worship team come, please? They're so engrossed, they forgot to come up. What do you say when times are tough? What will you say when hard times, you know, or when grief comes knocking at your door? What will you say? Don't be silent. Say it. What and who is God to you? Where do you run when it's tough? Where do you hide? Where do you lean? Psalm 91:4, this is what it says. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithfulness promises are your armor and protection. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Lean into God's goodness this year. Lean into God's favor. Lean into God's blessing. I want to encourage you to fill your life with God's word, to flip the script that the world has given us and flip it and use the word of God to actually propel you for the future that God wants you to have. Amen. Can we sing that song?